This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to episode 195 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 30th of June, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday, and today your hosts are Brad, Vincent, and myself, Jody, and our guest today is Liz Ross from Freeview. So how you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jody, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm going well.
Good.
I'm going well. And we got Vincent back. Hey, Vincent.
Hi, Brad.
How you going, mate?
Hi, Jody.
Hey, Vincent.
And we got Liz Ross from Freeview. Hey, Liz.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. Liz.
So what's been happening with Freeview?
Oh, there's a lot happening with Freeview right now. We're really looking at all the future sort of aggregated platforms and services that
This main
free to wear, and so we're looking at all sorts of aggregated platforms and services. And as you guys would know, technology is moving at a very fast pace.
Definitely. What about? I've got a question I want to ask you. In the future, is there going to be like an iPhone or an iPad up for?
Well, what I've got on the I guess in the vision at the moment for Freeview, and I have to tell you, it's not yet approved. It's just my vision.
Right.
So in principle, I guess what we want to be able to do is deliver free-to-wear anytime and anywhere on any device. So in the immediate term, I guess what I want to do is get catch-up television on iPhone, on the Android platform, on smartphone, on iPad, and obviously catch-up TV for the Australian networks is already PC-based.
Yep.
And a lot of the big smart television manufacturers have got apps for the individual TV networks on their interfaces. But we also want to look at an aggregator so that people can actually through one interface get all of the networks catch up TV, so which is kind of all the highlights from the last 7 or so days of TV that they've missed.
Nice, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. And how many Freeview branded boxes do you have out at the moment?
We've got fairly low penetration in Australia. There's been a few barriers. I joined Freeview in October, and I'm actually at the moment working on breaking down some of those barriers, which have made it, I guess, a little overcomplicated for manufacturers to certify with Freeview. So I'm happy to say that whilst we've had a really slow start, we've got Samsung have just launched with a range of televisions. They've got 4 models. 3 are in market now, 1 more for September. And, you know, that will really boost our market penetration, but a lot more work to be done there. So I couldn't tell you specific numbers at this stage.
Okay. All right. Vincent, got any questions for Liz?
Yeah. You see the occasional Freeview ad on TV, and I'm just wondering how you're going with the public awareness campaigns and the public perception of what Freeview is, because I must admit, when I first saw the ad, my feeling was, I already have this? Aren't they already advertising? Aren't they advertising something that I already have? And there is a general term, a Freeview, which sort of encompasses all of the free to air stuff that's available on digital TV.
Yeah.
but there's also the organization or the business. I mean, what exactly is the business model behind Freeview?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. I mean, the business model is basically two major things. When it started, it was very much about supporting the federal government in the switchover to digital. And as you probably know, that switchover is still going on, and we've still got the capital cities to work through for next year. So it won't be finished till December 2013. But also, you know, Freeview is an initiative that's funded by the free-to-air broadcasters basically to also help us face the challenges from new media forms, including subscription TV and broadband technology. So, and hence that's why we're working on more aggregated platforms. I guess it's about simplicity for a lot of Australians in you know, most households. People want a good service with being able to see what's on live. They also want to have on demand services. There's a lot of choices out there, and if all the networks operate independently, it'll be a fairly complicated world in the future. So it's really now about how can we bring those networks on one platform. With the TV campaign to date, the awareness of Freeview is really, really high, but I'm really aware that there's still, I guess, a bit of confusion in the market about what Freeview is all about, as you say. Isn't that the TV networks have always had? And we've just got to get that message out that it's quality TV across 18 channels now, and you know, we're really competing against a lot of new media forms, and particularly with the manufacturers building so many different apps into their smart interfaces. We've got to keep the free-to-air television service and the brand Freeview out in the marketplace.
Yeah, and it's that the electronic program guide, the EPG, that's really unifying it all together, isn't it? Because that's what the that's what you're saying, that the independent channels all have the different menu systems, and you've sort of got to relearn them each time, and it gets a bit complicated.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, the EPG is fantastic, and we really see a great opportunity with the EPG. The technology can deliver interaction channels, and I'm exploring those at the moment. And that means that at the moment you would go onto an app on a TV to get, say, ABC iView. But in the future, what we could do through just scrolling through your channels, you could have a dedicated channel number for iView, and you would literally be in that natural TV environment selecting a channel, but you know, obviously the interface is grabbing that video from the server at the network and bringing it in like it's almost like it's a live TV experience. So really simplifying, I guess for the mass market, simplifying the way in which they can get into all of the on-demand services from the networks.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, isn't it? Simplification, making it easy to use.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we're still seeing in Australia really, I think, relatively low penetration of digital video recorders, and I think, you know, a lot of people are still, you know, they converted from analog to digital, and we probably take it for granted that everybody understands all the technology, but they walk into a retail store and they, you know, in many cases feel bamboozled by the options in terms of how they could set up their home entertainment.
Do you have any idea how many people have not yet crossed over to digital?
Yeah, we've got, according to the federal government, there's about an 82% switchover has occurred. The majority of the homes that haven't switched over yet tend to be falling into the category of people on, you know, government benefits, single-person households, and, you know, basically old-age pensioners and seniors as well. So the government will have quite a big job over the next 18 months to get that last 18% over the line.
I was wondering also how many younger people are maybe just turning away from the TV and more towards their own individual devices, whether it's a laptop or an iPad or whatever.
Yeah, look, that's a very real threat. And this is why my focus at the moment is to look at how can I get that, you know, all that great programming onto all of these different devices. Initially, it'll be the catch-up, but, you know, I guess we're not too far off one day in the not-too-distant future having live TV on other devices. Mm.
But as of yet, there's no iPad app or iPhone app, is that right?
Not for Freeview, but there is for individual networks. So yeah. Right now, you ABC iView launched on iPhone this week. They've already been on iPad.
Yep.
Right. And I know that their research is showing that more people the actual downloads of video on the iPad app is increasing at such a rapid pace that it could easily take over the PC. People just love, you know, that as a second screen, people love watching video on their iPads.
Well, I've actually found personally that I'm doing a lot more iView watching on my iPad because I can stream it to my TV through my Apple TV. So,
right.
You know, that may be a factor of the increase in iPad use as well.
Yeah.
People streaming it to their television.
Mm, definitely.
Which is also another competitor in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also an opportunity for a partnership. We've got some manufacturers who have Freeview certified DVRs, for example, who are working on technology so that whatever people are either watching or have recorded, that they can throw that onto their iPad anywhere in the house in the Wi-Fi environment of their home. So you'll be able to do that with free-to-air. As long as the two devices are talking to each other, like an Apple model, as you've spoken about.
Cool. Mm. Now, how many people work at Freeview, Liz?
We're a tiny team of 6 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So I do a lot of consultation with the TV networks, with various departments. I get a lot of sort of, assistance, and you know, we workshop a lot of what we're doing with the networks. Mm-hmm. But all of the networks are on my board, so really I'm our chairman is the head of ABC Television, Kim okay. Dalton, and so I work quite closely with the board and with Kim as well as my own staff.
Oh, good stuff. Do you have much to do with TiVo Australia?
No, I've had very little to do with TiVo. I've never owned a TiVo, but...
I've actually got one. I love TiVo.
Sorry?
I actually own one. I love it. It's a great PVR.
Yeah, I hear really good things about TiVo, yeah.
But, yeah. So do you have, like, an ETA on when these apps will be out for the iPad and iPhone, or is that still working on it?
What I'm actually working on is basically it's a big project initiation mm-hmm. document at the moment, which I'm taking to the board in July.
Oh, nice.
So we're looking beyond just apps for iPhone and iPad. We're also looking at social television.
Yep.
And what we'll do in that market. And so as well as the catch-up and companion apps.
Nice. Now, I also heard Channel 9 is launching an iPad app, like Channel yeah. 7 has done.
Exactly, yeah. And they're launching that in conjunction with the Olympics, with okay. their Olympic coverage. So that's going to be really interesting. And I know that they've said publicly that they think it's better than anything the other networks have done. So
right,
they're
right.
obviously speaking probably specifically about one network. But, it'll be really good to see that product. I haven't yet seen it.
When would that be out, do you know? Or?
It's going to come out in time for the Olympics, in July.
July, yeah. Sometimes. Okay, good stuff. Now, what about new channels? Any new channels coming anytime soon? Or
yeah, there's one channel that has been announced, and it's the National Indigenous Television Channel.
Okay.
Which SBS are going to take over. Well, they've taken over from the 1st of July, which is in the next couple of days. And it'll be launched as a free-to-air channel by the end of 2012. And the federal government's put about $63 million behind this channel. It's currently available via satellite.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. So that's all Aboriginal TV shows.
Indeed, yeah. Nice. So it'll be really exciting, I guess, for Indigenous television. And it's it's really bringing Australia to the forefront in terms of promoting Indigenous broadcasting.
Okay, good stuff. Now, I've got a question from Lee. He wants to know when will you be, this is probably won't happen, but when will you be broadcasting all the channels in full HD? In 1080, yeah. He actually said 1080p or 1080i.
Yeah. I have to confess that I'm not an engineer, but what I do understand is that it's a spectrum issue.
Okay.
It just takes up so much space on the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, as you know, the government's taken back some of the spectrum and they're auctioning it off in the next, I forget the timeline, but it's over the next year or so.
Right. And what sort of channels do you like to watch on Freeview, Liz? What's some of your favourite TV shows?
Well, naturally, I watch all of them. I have to watch all of them. I have my favourite programs, but, yeah, I do try and dip in and out of as much TV as I can. June was just a huge month. I was looking at all the figures for June, and if you look across the top 20 programs this year versus last year, everything in the top 20 rated higher than the year prior, which is really significant, I guess, for, sort of the health of the free-to-air industry is really very strong at the moment.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of investment in big programming.
Right. And what about pay TV? Do you think a lot of people will leave pay TV and use the internet to watch TV or not?
Well, over the last 2 to 3 years, they've stalled. They haven't got beyond 30% penetration in the Australian market, which is really unusual. In the Western world, that's highly unusual.
Right.
But, look, I have my own thoughts on that. It's expensive. I think there's not too many people that would disagree with me on that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I have it on my Xbox, and I've sort of got it for free for a month or so. Then I'll get rid of it. But, you know, it's just too much money, and, you know, it's all repeats and, you know, it's, you know.
And they look, you know, good luck to them. They get, I think there's moments of brilliance on pay TV, but, you know, I have to say that if you look across the last few months on free-to-air, we've had some of the biggest audience figures that, you know, you could imagine in such a fragmented media market. It's really healthy, and Australians are voting with their eyeballs.
Definitely. And also Freeview gets the, you guys get the all the new shows first.
We absolutely do. Mm. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And free-to-airs make a lot of it too, a big chunk of it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, I'm loving the 7Mate channel and 7.2 and you show some good shows in there. Vincent, any questions?
No, we should probably Liz get on and walk the dog so I can hear him in the background. But I do have just one question.
Yes.
You mentioned December 31st, 2013. Is that actually the last final date of transmission of analog?
Yeah, it's not the 31st. It's before Christmas, but it's December 2013, and that is it. Then the whole of Australia will be switched off.
Cool. Good stuff. Now, Vincent, you don't use a PVR yet, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Why is that? You don't need one, or you don't choose to?
I don't watch a lot of TV, and I must admit, I think that the, Liz, you were saying, the amazingly low numbers of take-up in Australia for paid TV, and I was wondering if it was perhaps because of the lateness of it being introduced into Australia and that the internet has already provided, or Australians have perhaps already found a lot of their viewing time is spent online and perhaps don't feel the need to have to pay money to have somewhere else to look at stuff where they can get it for free.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things going on with that. I think, yes, you're right. There's a lot of people that are watching TV through the internet. But what's really interesting that we've watched, particularly if you look at 2011 versus 2010, there's an increase in time spent viewing with free-to-air TV. So the actual amount of time people watching TV is growing on free-to-air. So they're not losing, you know, the sort of, the share of audience is still very big. We get upwards of sort of 80-83% of the share of all television viewing is on free-to-air TV. But also the time that people are watching free-to-air is growing. I think you'll find if you look at most research, it shows that people are actually consuming more video than ever before. So they've the time with free-to-air is solid, and it was, you know, a little bit of growth year on year. But then they're adding more media to their daily diet, and they're consuming more video overall.
Well, that's actually another factor is personally, when I crossed over from analog to digital, I just found all of these extra channels, and I thought I was personally quite overwhelmed. And I thought, well, there's tons of stuff here for me to watch for free.
Yeah.
Even more, less reason to pay for, for some pay TV. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our big, message that we want to get out to the market. It's choice. It's about choice. And you know, in the future, as I said from, you know, the beginning of the interview, you know, I want to work on not just choice, but also the convenience of being able to get the content on other devices.
Yeah, definitely. Now, a question for you, Liz. Is there any plans of adding a music channel to Freeview, like a dedicated music channel?
No, that's really a question, you know, for, I guess, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the government and this spectrum auction, because someone may well get the license to do something like that.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be cool.
Yeah, no, that's entirely possible.
I know there's rage and that sort of stuff, but I think, you know, having a dedicated music channel with all music stuff, it's, I reckon it'd be good, like, you know.
I agree.
And also maybe a catch-up channel on Freeview, so you can watch, you know, catch up on a show you missed or something or whatever.
Exactly.
Don't know. All right, well, where can they find you on the internet and Twitter? Do you use Twitter and stuff or Facebook?
I do Twitter a little bit. We've got Freeview as that's my marketing manager,
right.
Karen.
Yeah, Karen, she, yep.
You've spoken to Karen,
yeah, Karen
and
yep.
She tweets as Freeview, but I'm there as Liz Ross.
Liz Ross.
We'll talk.
Good stuff. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure.
All right.
Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right. That was Liz Ross, Vincent.
Yeah, that was great.
Great chatting with her. Great information.
It's interesting. We don't have anything like that here in the States. I think it's pretty neat.
It is, yeah. Now, here over in the US, people are getting rid of their cable subscription TV. Is that correct, Jody? Or?
Well, it really depends where you are and what seems to work best for your area. I currently have cable, so and have no plan to get rid of it. But some people have satellite TV, and you know, but analog TV for the most part is gone.
Right? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
So, what about free-to-air digital TV in America? What sort of selections do you have?
Really, there's none that I know of.
Nothing that's free. Like, don't you have PBS or something? Isn't there like a public?
Oh yeah, but in order to get it now, you have to have a cable box.
Yeah, so you actually get to pay to watch TV over there, do you? So you just can't hook up an antenna to your TV and then scan for channels. You get free TV to watch.
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I've had cable for so long that.
that's all right.
Yeah.
It's totally different over over there than over here. It's totally different. So, but anyway, all right. Well, what's been happening in the news, Jody? Past week.
Well, yeah, I've got some interesting stories. Three of them that have to do with Facebook, and the first one has to do with an application. I don't know if you guys heard, but there was an application that was released early last week called the Friendship app.
Okay.
And basically the way it worked was that if you were out with friends, you could look at this app and it could tell you where your friends were that were nearby, also called Friendshake. The app rolled out on Monday with little fanfare. Users could locate the Friendship app through the app's menu in Facebook for Android and for iOS and by visiting Facebook's mobile site. But suddenly, without warning or fanfare, the company yanked it and gave Wired a statement. They said this wasn't a formal release. This was just something that a few engineers were testing. With all tests, some get released as full products and others don't. But the reason that the new app may have been pulled is as simple as the app's nickname. It was called the Stalker app. And anytime that an app uses GPS to tell strangers that you're nearby, it's going to raise some privacy concerns. The same ones that surfaced about other geographically social apps like Glancy, which was acquired by Facebook two months ago.
Yep.
So hours after Friendshake went live, Facebook removed the new feature, which had allowed people to locate other users nearby that had public profiles. And again, the reps from Facebook emphasized that this was only a test.
Wow.
kind of interesting.
Wow, so I was just going to say, there was a couple of other Facebook things that happened, wasn't there, with the email addresses?
Yes, and there's been a lot of uproar where people are upset. What happened with that is that everybody wound up there without having a choice, and they wound up having a Facebook email. And virally, throughout Facebook, people were sharing how to change it back. So,
yeah.
And then there was more.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I was just... No, you should go on.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there was that... The other thing with Facebook and privacy that I heard about last week was the guy who released the website. I can't remember the name of it, but it would basically... He'd programmed it so that it would just pull in everyone's public profiles, and if people were talking about taking drugs, then there was like a I'm taking drugs page of all these people saying I'm taking drugs, or my boss sucks. They had a whole page of people just saying that, and just revealed to the world all of these what these people were saying publicly. You may not have known about it.
Right, and that was Facebook's new privacy problem called status anxiety, and it was a new website which was taking embarrassing and potentially incriminating status updates from Facebook users who didn't know how to use the site's privacy settings correctly, and then it posted them to the whole world to see. So this website, they knew what you were doing, and you're not going to know how they found out. Let's see. It says the weknowwhatyouredoing.com.
That's right.
It was dubbed a social experiment, and it's a nightmare come true for some people who hadn't figured out how to make their profiles private. But absolutely, then, like everything you said, you know, where people were posting things that perhaps they should have known better than to post, and this website made them public. The site pulled status updates from Facebook's Graph API, a developer tool, and simply posts them in a list format for anyone, including bosses, to see. Disclaimer on the site warns people who have seen their updates on the site that, quote, they do not accept any responsibility or liability for any loss or damage of whatever nature from the information on this site. So in other words, if you lose your job, you can't blame them. So here's how to make sure your Facebook content doesn't end up in the wrong hands. Click on the down arrow next to your name and home at the top right corner of the Facebook page, then click on privacy settings. And from there, you can toggle to see how anyone sees your profile. Make sure that you maintain your privacy settings because, as we all know, on a whim, they will change them. So, but yeah, good call. That's definitely something that people need to know about. And another thing that people may not have known about this week, that on Tuesday, Facebook went down. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
It was only briefly, though, wasn't it?
Yep. It was briefly. But, you know, you wonder how much it had to do with that app that they released and then they pulled back so quickly, and with all the people changing their defaulted Facebook.com emails back to whatever it was. But Facebook users struggled logging onto the site using features on their profiles on Tuesday. Shut out of the social network, many people took to Twitter to complain about the service issues, which is kind of unusual. Facebook's down. If this keeps up, expect cancer to be cured and the world's financial crisis to be solved by the end of the day, one of the users quoted on Twitter. So these programs came less than a week after a software glitch took Twitter down for several hours. So Facebook has had its share of problems this week.
Wow.
In the news also, why do not track measures may still track you. For those of you who maybe try to opt out of targeted ads but still see the same ads repeated as a result of not being tracked, it's obvious that do not track means don't store any data about pages I visit. That's what the representatives from World Wide Web Consortium, or W3C, have said, but some of them have differing views according to a three-day meeting prior to Senate Commerce Committee meeting, which was on June 28th. And the W3C supports frequency capping, which means that even if you have activated do not track, advertisers could still track you enough to prevent you from seeing the same ad over and over again. So it's interesting that there is a movement towards do not track, but it's still the effects of do not track won't be measured until sites actually stop tracking visitors. But whether that really means no tracking at all or just a little tracking remains to be seen. So they're saying that the completed do not track package is expected by the end of this year. So
good stuff.
That's good stuff. And then last but not least, ouch, Google kneecap Dropbox with Google Drive.
Yes, Google Drive. Now, I think this app is a great app, but one thing's missing is there's no upload button, which sucks.
No upload button?
No, you can't upload stuff from the app on your phone, which is just completely stupid.
Pretty big omission, really, making it quite one-way usage, just read-only.
Yeah, read-only, that's basically.
Well, they just changed it, though, Brad, and it says it now works with Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, and Chrome.
Yeah, but there's still no upload button.
Well, we'll have to complain to Google. So that's the news.
Great stuff, Jody. Now, Vince, Jason's away for the next 2 weeks, and hope he's having a good time where he is. Go ahead.
There was the Google I/O.
This
week, and you, Brad, you ordered yourself a Nexus 7.
I did.
Server,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I got one. I just got it because it was cheap, and I want to try it Android and see what it's all about. And I'll be getting one very soon when it comes out. Can't wait.
How exciting!
Yeah, very excited. And what's your view on the new tablet, Vincent?
I know very little about it. I've been sort of scrambling to keep up with it all. There's so much has happened in the last 2-3 weeks with Microsoft and Apple before that.
Right. Do you have a highlight from Google OS or iOS?
Do I have a what?
A highlight from what happened from the past week?
No, I can't say I do.
Oh, well, I do. I can't wait for the Google Plus app to come to the iPad.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about that.
Really? Why is that?
The lack of Hangout feature. I don't know if it, that's the big missing thing, and there's no promise that that will be there. In fact, there was hinting that it wasn't going to be there.
Oh, didn't Android do a redo of the Google Plus app for the Android?
Yeah, they did. They did, but I didn't hear any mention of the ability to start a Hangout with the Android app.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's just wrong. That's just wrong.
I
Google,
know.
If you're listening, we want Hangouts on our phone.
Yeah,
okay?
Come on. Google, just add a Google Hangout button in the app so you can see what's going on with the Hangouts and stuff,
I'm sure it's a technical problem. If it was achievable, surely they would have done it. I mean, it's the most popular feature of Google Plus.
So would you use, just a question for you, Vincent and Jody, would you use the Google button if you're out and about? Would you use it home more? How would you use it if it was there, Vincent?
Well, I would use it probably more at home just because of the fact that I'm at home more often. But yeah. Even with what I call the crippled iOS G+ app,
right.
Crippled because it's so hard to have a Hangout on it,
yeah.
I still use it to have a Hangout quite often.
Yeah, you do,
that's how much I want to have it, and that's with everyone. And in fact, Google released some stats yesterday. I read that they were saying that most people who are using G+ are using it on a mobile platform, making it even more important to have these features there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I'll tell you what, I would definitely use it both at home and when I was out. And in fact, there's a kind of a workaround, because if somebody invites you to a Hangout, you can get it on your phone, on the iPhone.
Yeah.
So, and I've used it, Brad, remember I took you guys to the Wawa down the street.
Yeah, and you actually did one this morning too from your pool.
Yep.
That was quite fun.
I did. Shh. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't I supposed to say
no,
that?
No, I was working.
Was that bad? Well, you are. That is the weekend, so, you get to... You're not supposed to work on weekends.
You guys are way ahead of us. It just started weekend now.
Right, okay. So that's right. Yeah. Forget about that.
Busted.
Yeah. All right. Any other things, Vince, you want to mention before we go?
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Jody?
Yeah, just that Google's Chrome browser came to the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the Chrome browser.
Same.
And I also loaded it now onto my iPad, so I'll be playing with that later.
Do you find that slow or faster now? Do you find that a little bit slower than the Safari or...
You know, I'll have to do some speed tests and I'll report back to you next week. I'm not really sure.
Because people have been saying it's really slow. I don't know what they're talking about, but I don't
see it. Well, it's because it's sandboxed. Apple won't allow any other browsers to have the same access as Safari does. So it's sort of, you're basically looking at it through a window or something like that. So, so it's not Chrome's fault. It's just the rules that Apple have set.
Yeah, well, apart from that, it works fine.
And I don't find it particularly slow.
Not at all.
I just, you know, it seems like it works relatively quickly. I don't really see a big difference, but I, you know, maybe over a week I'll see that it operates differently. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the big thing is if you are a Chrome user on the desktop, then there's the ability to sync your bookmarks and tabs and stuff like that. You know, to have, you may have like 15 tabs open on your desktop or something and then want to see one of those on your mobile device and be able to do that is probably a big key feature of why you would want to have Chrome on your iOS.
Mm.
Definitely.
And there's a few other nice features, but to be honest, I haven't had a chance to look at it. And it's just another one of those goodies there waiting to have a play with over
good
the weekend.
Good stuff. Now, Vincent, are we going to be hearing you next week at all?
Oh, I can't promise, sorry, but no, probably not.
All right, mate. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, mate. And we'll be back next week with Steve and the live video version, that sort of thing. Steve's away actually doing something else.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to hear of his adventure.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Vincent, where can they find you on the Twitter and that sort of thing? Good stuff.
Well, you can find me at Vintuitive. That's Intuitive, but with a capital V at the beginning.
Cool.
And same, Vintuitive.com, Vintuitive at Facebook and everywhere else.
All right. And me, Brad Osden at Tech Webcast. Jody, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SunSwept. And you can find me at my website, webmarcom.net. Cool. And you can find me here at Tech Webcast once a week.
Good stuff. What's going on with Chris Voss? He's not doing any more shows anymore. Is he on a break or...?
I don't know. Last I was talking to him, he was testing a vehicle and he was driving all over Tarnation. But we'll have to follow up with Chris and see where he is.
Cool. All right. We'll stay tuned for next week then. Thanks, guys, for being on.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you to Liz Ross for coming on. She was so cool to talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah,
very cool. Very good. Yep.
All right.
Thanks.
See ya.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time. May the tech be with you. Peace.